Hello and welcome to this week's Wildlife Matters podcast with me, your host, Nigel Palmer. We have had a very wet winter here in the UK, but now the signs of spring are all around. With its many shades of green and the bluebells currently carpeting our woodlands, the birds are nesting and the dawn chorus is loud and genuinely a beautiful cacophony of sound. And I've been busy leading nightingale walks in our local woodlands and following a buzzard family nesting nearby. And we will bring you the full story in a future podcast. But today, the 24th of April, is Help Animals Day. Our friends at One Voice for Animals have hosted this day since its launch back in 2022. And the aim is to encourage everyone to do something to help animals. Now, that could be volunteering at a wildlife or companion animal rescue centre, perhaps helping a local group survey for reptiles or amphibians, maybe even bats, or donating to your local hedgehog, rabbit, dog, cat, or wildlife rescue. As long as you do something to help animals today, then you are making a difference. If you'd like to know more, please have a look at the One Voice for Animals website, which is www.helpanimals.co.uk. That's www.helpanimals.co.uk. And look out for the hashtag on social media. The hashtag is Help Animals Day. Do share it. Do make sure your friends see it. And let's make sure that as many people as possible will do something to help animals today. And now it's time for this week's Wildlife Matters Nature News. On this week's Wildlife Matters Nature News, we're featuring a funeral for nature that took place in Bath on Saturday, the 20th of April. Hundreds of protesters, including broadcasters Chris Packham and Megan McCubbin, marched in a funeral procession for the natural world destroyed by climate change. Some of the protesters dressed in red and hundreds more wearing black walked through the streets of Bath. The mourners in the performance art piece walked to a drumbeat and carried a willow funeral bier of a Mother Earth figure created by the artist Anna Gillespie. Environmentalist Chris Packham wore a black tie with an Extinction Rebellion logo on as he spoke to the crowd. The protest aimed to sound code red for nature and highlight the UK's position as one of the most nature-depleted countries in the world ahead of Earth Day last Monday. Red Rebel Brigade members, resplendent in their red outfits and white face paint, were part of an international troop whose members protested through performance art pieces. The organisers said Saturday's procession of over 400 Red Rebels was the largest gathering to date and that the numbers were consistently increasing. Groups had travelled from the Netherlands, Belgium, Denmark and all across the UK for the procession which Extinction Rebellion had organised. Anna Gillespie said, unlike conventional protests, the procession will be free of banners or placards. Instead, we are relying on the intense imagery of the vast assembly of Red Rebels and the impact of the figure of Mother Nature on a funeral bier carried by mourners to get the message across. Everyone participating has a powerful desire to express their desperate feelings of loss and fear as the natural world struggles to survive in the face of our human onslaught. The organisers said 43% of UK bird species were now in decline. 97% of wildflower meadows had disappeared since the Second World War, and the world was entering its sixth mass extinction event. Bystanders were handed an order of service containing information on climate change. Other funerals for nature were held simultaneously in Boston in the US, Sydney, Australia, Gothenburg, Sweden, and in Lisbon, Portugal. One of the organisers, Rob Delius, said, "The intention is to send a powerful SOS message for nature by creating a visual spectacle that will shock and inspire onlookers in equal measures. The UK has sleepwalked into this nature crisis, and the fact that we are now one of the most nature-depleted countries in the world isn't being talked about enough. We want the processions to create a talking point and move the public to demand that the government, local authorities, landowners, and businesses urgently do more to restore nature." And that has been this week's Wildlife Matters Nature News. In this week's Wildlife Matters Investigates, we are exploring the devastating impact of the illegal ivory trade. The trade not only leads to the brutal killing of a significant number of elephants for their tusks, but also fuels a black market for wildlife body parts. The poaching gangs and their black market warlords are running amok and destroying our wildlife and habitats in pursuit of the mighty dollar. How tragic and ridiculously short-sighted can we be as a species? But please, spare a thought for the many wildlife rangers who have lost their lives while trying to protect wildlife. The loss of elephants, a key species, directly impacts biodiversity and devastates their ecosystems. And for what? So someone can have a trinket made from ivory of an elephant's tusk. This is Wildlife Matters' look at the bloody ivory trade. Hello and welcome back, and on this week's Wildlife Matters, we are looking at the bloody ivory trade. For centuries, ivory was prized for its beauty and its strength. Ivory has been used to create tools, sacred objects, art, musical instruments, carved ornaments, and decorative items, some regarded as luxury items. But in the last 100 years or so, things have changed massively. The rise in demand for ivory as a sign of wealth and power in the Far East, combined with the availability of high-velocity rifles with pinpoint accuracy from miles away, has made killing elephants easier than ever. We can only imagine the pain and suffering of the victims. But we know elephants are highly intelligent, sentient creatures that feel loss and mourn their dead. The brutal killings cause the same grief to elephant groups as we feel when a gunman gets loose in a school. Thankfully for us, mass shootings are still comparatively rare. But for the elephants in parts of Africa, they are a weekly and often daily occurrence. The suffering and devastation of elephant family herds is one of the reasons why we should stop the bloody ivory trade. Unfortunately, due to the sustained high number of elephants being killed, there is a real threat that the magnificent African elephant could become extinct within a generation. Do you want to leave this legacy for your children and grandchildren? I think not, and neither do I. Elephant populations have plummeted by an estimated 90%. Just take a moment to think about that. We have already killed 9 out of every 10 elephants in Africa. The world was once brimming with magnificent elephants, but today there are fewer than 500,000 left, and that number is dropping every day. In 1989, to end the demand for ivory, CITES enacted an international ban on the sale of ivory. But still, some African countries were allowed to continue with the domestic ivory trade, subject to restrictions, loopholes for the financiers to exploit. The ivory ban drove the trade underground, with the high continued demand for tusks in many countries, including the United States, created a booming black market trade. The current estimate is that more than 1,000 elephants are being killed every day. Ivory is a pervasive problem, with the global trade estimated to be worth $23 billion annually. Due to the high demand for ivory, poachers have no issue continuing to kill elephants for their tusks, which they can sell for up to $3,300 per pound. Killing elephants for their tusks is inherently cruel, but the fight to prevent poaching has led to poachers employing increasingly brutal methods to avoid detection. With the obscene amounts of money to be made, poachers use the latest technology to locate elephant herds, and now use helicopters for a fast raid on the pack, shooting all the animals in one bloody massacre before a ground team in 4x4 vehicles chainsaw the tusks from the still warm elephants. And just as quickly as they arrived, these mercenary killers are gone. Conversely, as ranger patrols have increased and better technology allowed them to respond to the sound of distant gunfire, the poaching gangs quickly turned to silent killing methods, like spears and arrows with poisoned tips that silently but slowly kill the elephants. Worse still, these methods effectively incapacitate the elephants. The poachers then cut their tusks out while they are still alive, leaving the elephants to die a prolonged and excruciatingly painful death. The tragic reality of the illegal poaching of elephants is often rooted in a complex web of factors. The illicit demand for ivory and other wildlife products drives criminal groups to exploit the poverty-stricken nations, siphoning off their resources with no regard for rules or laws. Corruption allows these animals to flaunt legal regulations and thrive, while poverty encourages desperate people to take up poaching activities as a way to make money so they can feed their families. Global intervention is needed now to protect and save elephants, the world's majestic creatures, from extinction. Do you remember me highlighting the loophole in the CITES ban on ivory back in 1989, where some African countries were allowed to trade within their borders? Europe followed CITES' directive but permitted domestic trade as long as the ivory in question was acquired before 1947 or imported from Africa before 1990, or in some cases, before 1970. Other countries have adopted similar regulations to allow existing ivory sales whilst discouraging poaching. Of course, the poachers have found ways around these laws by disguising new ivory to appear as old. Sometimes this is as simple as discoloring it with black tea. And shockingly, the ivory experts have been tricked into believing that the tea-stained new ivory was pre-1947. Or, as the cynic in me, perhaps they just wanted to keep the trade alive, as without ivory, what would they do? This is more than turning an occasional blind eye, though. One study revealed that 68% of samples they acquired for testing were after 1947, but even worse, the so-called experts got the age of the pieces wrong a staggering 86% of the time. The second problem of CITES 1989 ban on the sale of ivory required that all countries keep documented stockpiles of ivory, both to track trade and to remove it from the market. Of course, with all the ivory in one place, robberies were frequent and often successful. So some countries, including the USA, have responded by crushing or burning their ivory caches permanently in an attempt to end the ivory trade. There is much debate about the success of destroying the stockpiled ivory, as it appears to have driven the price of new ivory even higher on the black markets. The counter-argument is that the COVID-19 pandemic has increased the demand for ivory. The price of ivory has been on the rise after declining as the travel restrictions reduced the supply of ivory to the trade. As a result, prices increased due to the disparity between supply and demand, a classic market situation. But these are individual animal tusks and not commodities. And we have lost all compassion for our fellow beings. There is also the gold factor, because ivory is valuable. Some see it as a sound investment, akin to purchasing gold. As such, there is evidence that ivory was sold at higher prices to provide financial stability during the global economic crisis. The outcome is inevitable as the price of ivory increases. Poachers are more incentivized to continue killing elephants as the profits are much higher than ever before. The greed and the stupidity of humans genuinely has no limits. Global online sales platforms such as Amazon and eBay are full of ivory products despite the sale of ivory being banned. Just try searching for bovine bone and see what comes up. In a study conducted by Dr. Caroline Cox at the University of Portsmouth, they found out that 632 items listed as bovine bone on eBay, over 500 of them were in fact ivory. Another issue with the CITES requirement to store stockpiles of ivory is the cost of keeping the ivory safely stored, which has burdened some poorer countries. Some countries like Zimbabwe and Namibia want to sell their stockpiles and use the money raised for conservation. Today, both Zimbabwe and Namibia sell hunting licenses, including licenses to hunt the elephants they claim, to raise the money to fund the protection of the ivory stockpiles they hold. A genuinely horrific 360-degree tailspin between wildlife and capitalism. I fear that with the greed and desire for money, the latter will win, leading to the inevitable extinction of elephants in the wild. Wildlife Matters believes one major factor being underreported is the evolutionary changes occurring within elephant populations in specific areas, such as the Gorongosa National Park in Mozambique. where war led to 90% of the elephants being killed for their ivory. Female elephants in the Gorongosa National Park carry a gene that causes them to be born without tusks. Since tuskless elephants were more likely to survive, those genes were passed on faster than before the war. And today, 50% of female elephants in this region are born without tusks. While initially this may appear to be good news, a little further investigation reveals that this gene mutation is lethal in males. Within the herds affected by these genetic changes, 2/3 of all elephant calves are now female, significantly impacting the species' survival. We must also consider that tuskless elephants have adapted their diets and now eat mainly grass instead of a broad plant diet, including legumes and woody plants. Elephants are a keystone species, so this dietary change has a massive impact on the local ecosystems. It impacts many species that rely on the elephant's natural behavior to remove scrub and create paths, dig water holes, and turn the soil with their tusks. Without tusks, elephants do none of these things, and biodiversity declines as the species dies out. Wildlife Matters also believes the human cost of protecting elephants is dangerously underreported. The poachers are ruthless killers, and it is not only elephants they kill. Between 2006 and 2021, over 1,500 people, mainly wildlife rangers, have been killed protecting endangered species, including elephants. The brave rangers who work to protect elephants from poachers risk their lives as they carry out their duties. They frequently face corruption in local governments, and poachers who are insurgents or members of organized crime groups and militia. Of course, rangers must contend with dangers from the natural environment too, like wildfires, floods, and sometimes even attacks from the animals they are working to protect. Let's take a moment to remember the 1,500 brave men and women who died trying to protect the wildlife they love. And some glimmer of hope. The European Union, including the UK, adopted new regulations in December 2021 to combat the domestic ivory trade. The EU now prohibits all raw ivory trade except for repairing existing objects made from antique ivory, such as classical musical instruments. Moreover, to be eligible for legal sale, worked ivory must have been crafted before 1947, or in the case of musical instruments, 1975. These items must also be certified by their country of origin. China, the largest market for ivory, took a significant step in combating poaching by banning the domestic sale of ivory. This legislation, combined with successful public messaging campaigns, has helped decrease the demand for ivory in China. According to Chinese state media, the price of raw ivory dropped by 65% within the first year of the ban. Japan, which was once a significant market for ivory, has ceased all ivory imports. As a result, the country is no longer a destination for new ivory. Wildlife Matters believes that leaving elephants as pawns in a global game of black market trade and legal conservation is neglecting our responsibilities as humans to protect wild animals and their habitats and environments for the greater good of every one of us and the planet that we all call home. We don't believe CITES has the will or the desire to end the ivory trade. They are a trade-based organisation after all. The so-called bans have driven the business into the hands of black market criminals who have no compassion for people or wildlife. They only worship at the altar of capitalism. Wildlife Matters believes an innovative and new way of tackling this issue is now required. We believe in using the latest satellite technology to track elephant herds and individuals across their home ranges. These would be supported by military bases tracking elephants and movements within the area of the packs as they roam. Elephants follow traditional paths and move seasonally. The only variations are when human development and expansion remove their tracks, and the elephants then come through new developments to follow their ancient paths, and then property and crops are damaged. The world's governments deploy military personnel, high-tech planes and helicopters for fast response, supported by ground-based teams. This would mean poachers would be unlikely to kill elephants and would be more likely to be caught, tried and imprisoned. The ivory supply would decline, driving the price for the remaining ivory ever higher to a point where the demand would tail off. This initiative would be backed by a worldwide educational campaign designed to show the real suffering of elephants and the reality of how elephants are killed and their tusks removed to make ivory items. Although expensive, these measures would help save the elephants that remain in the wild today. Educate people about why buying ivory is wrong and it is not a sustainable product, and remove a third largest black market trade. Some of the items I've referred to today come from the article Frontline Dispatches, which was released in October of 2019. And this has been Wildlife Matters Investigates the Bloody Ivory Trade. It is genuinely sickening the impact humans are having on other animals. The thought of the magnificent African elephant becoming extinct in our lifetime is tragic, but terrifyingly real. We have suggested solutions that could be a game changer for the elephants, but we would like to hear from you about what you would do to help protect them. Why not drop us a line with your ideas? Our email address is hello@wildlife-matters.org. That's hello@wildlife-matters.org. Now, let's take a few moments to enjoy being in nature. At this time of the year, nothing is more uplifting than the beautiful sounds of the dawn chorus. I recorded the local dawn chorus on an early morning walk earlier this month, and I hope you enjoy hearing at least one special visitor in this week's Wildlife Matters Mindful Moments. Hope you heard the nightingale's song in that recording. Still, there were a few more birds in there you may have recognised, like the blue tit, the chiffchaff, blackbird, robin, song thrush, and the fantastic percussion of the greater spotted woodpecker, rhythmically creating a nesting hole high up in a nearby ash tree. And please don't forget to send us your questions for the Q&A that we will be doing in May. By popular request, we will try to answer all the questions that you send us. Now, if you have a question, please email them to me at hello@wildlife-matters.org. That's hello@wildlife-matters.org. Now, Wildlife Matters will be back in 2 weeks' time with a fascinating interview for anyone interested in wildlife care. But until then, remember to get out and spend time in nature as much as possible and keep it wild. I'm your host, Nigel Palmer, and this is Wildlife Matters signing off.